Okay, so we will open the November 12th, 2020 Boulder Planning Commission meeting. I think we have Peg said we have a quorum here. And you'll make note of everybody that's here, right?
Yes. I have one HP who's joined, and I don't know who that is. As soon as we have audio, could HP tell me who you are? What's your name, please? Haven't seen Ashley in a while.
All right. So are we still waiting for HP?
Yes. HP, could you just tell me what your full name is? HP? Can you hear me? HP, if you can hear me, just rename yourself on your screen if you can do that. Otherwise, why don't we get going? Go ahead, Colleen.
Okay, so can I have a motion to approve the September? Well, actually, let's see. Has everyone looked at the September and October minutes? Does anyone have any comments about those? So if there are no comments, I'd like to hear a motion on approving the September and October minutes.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the September and October minutes.
I'll second that, Cookie. Okay.
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Josie Muse, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
And Marion, you can vote since Haley's not here. Marion.
Aye. Marion Johnson, aye.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Hi, Marion.
Hi.
Okay, and then so we'll move on. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda? And if so, can we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the November agenda.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Josie Muse, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Marianne Johnson, aye.
Okay, so then we'll move on to the Lee Nellison Commission review for proposed zoning ordinance development standards and corresponding general plan edits. Lee, are you there?
Okay. I am here and ready to go. I thought that the best way to deal with this tonight would be to work on an example that would take us through at least part of the standards. You can't really come up with an example that hits every one of them without making something pretty strange. And Curtis and I had a good talk about this and decided to do something commercial. And I was inspired. Some of you have probably been there, given your proximity, but some of you probably been over to Adobe Milling in Dove Creek, Colorado. And they produce the Anasazi beans and Bolito beans and a whole variety of products. And so I imagined that someone might want to do something similar to that in Boulder. Boulder and Dove Creek are within 100 feet of the same elevation, so you could raise anything in Boulder, I suspect, that you can raise in Dove Creek. And Curtis and I decided to plunk this down in the old gas station, right there by the intersection of the Burr Trail and Utah 12. And so what we've got up on the screen here first shows you the intersection and the existing property, which includes a lot of scruffy trees and a lot of old structures. The demolition plan is pretty simple. You have to take a tree out that's growing up in the right of way of the highway. You have to remove an existing pretty deteriorated steel shed that's behind that old gas station. You have to remove some structures that are over to the west of the shed and the gas station, pieces of fences and corrals. There's also one tree over there that you have to take out in order to do this. And then, Peg, if you can switch over to the site plan, we'll see what you're going to get there instead.
Uh-oh. Not yet, huh? Hold on.
Oh, faster than I build things.
Okay. Do I have both of the same thing here? Wait. Uh-oh. Well, I didn't realize there were so many trees there.
You know, it's amazing, but I got on Google Earth and looked at it at ground level, and they're pretty scruffy trees, most of them, but they're there.
Well, it is interesting to see trees from above when you're actually looking at something. It's a whole different thing.
It is.
From how we look at them.
Well, it's hard to see that old gas station building from above because of those trees.
Right. Oh, wow.
So here is the site plan for my Boulder Beans and Slick Rock Salsa Company. And you can see there would be a new access drive leaving the Burr Trail coming in on the west side of that property. There would be 8 customer parking spaces in front of the building, 8 parking customer parking spaces towards the rear, and a picnic area associated with that old building, which is not, as you know, very large. The existing trees would remain unless some of them are just positively hazardous. And then there would be a work area in front of the processing plant, a paved work area where employees could park. And there would be a roughly 30 by 70 steel building with a bean elevator attached to it, which is the round structure. And I don't have, you know, fancy elevations or anything. You're going to have to use your imagination to fill in some blanks here. But the idea would be to restore the old gas station as the retail outlet for this, to provide a nice picnic area for customers, and parking, and then to provide the industrial part of this at the back of the property, several hundred feet, from the road, but still a fairly large building. And then I think most of you were probably able to open it. You got a sheet of notes, which just says there's 16 customer parking spaces, 8 employee parking spaces in the loading area, 2,800 square foot steel building that's 30 feet high at the eaves. The gas station would be restored and slightly expanded to be 880 square feet. You can see on that site plan the base for a sign, which would be a 6x8 sign, and you've got my design of the sign there at the bottom. My sandstone color isn't really Boulder sandstone, but I didn't want to spend several days trying to match the colors of the sandstone. So, and the intent is to save those existing trees to the extent that that's possible. So those are kind of the big picture parameters of this project. And mm-hmm. I think we should take it through the checklist and see how it fares. But are there any questions about what the project consists of before we go through the checklist?
I have a question. This is Cookie. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to orient myself to the site plan. Where it says existing trees remain over the top of that building, mm-hmm. is that the old white building?
The old white building is under the red splash where it says existing building restored.
Okay.
That building is next door. The other building you're looking at the top of there, the roof of.
Yeah. So Cookie, the existing trees remain. That belongs to Roundy's. That's that white house, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
what I was asking,
yeah.
whether
yep.
or not. Okay, that is the old white house that where Tim and Scotty used to live, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the existing building that you're going to restore is that Dennis's old
yep.
furniture place. Okay, got it.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm just...
That's okay. We need to get everybody oriented and comfortable here.
Okay. So the old white house, There's nothing said about that white house, Lee.
It's not part of this project. It would be a separate disposition. I mean, I think they're in the same ownership, but I just put the project here to restore the old gas station and process the beans. So
okay.
The house would not change.
Okay.
What you see there is what would remain with this project, and you know something else might happen to that in some future. Incarnation of this, but what you see here is what you would get in the new project. So this is what they would be seeking a conditional use permit for.
And we can assume where the property lines are for setbacks. Are they drawn in and I just don't see them?
I did not draw in the setbacks because this is, it's not an issue.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
It's not an issue here. This is all the same parcel. The setback from the road, as you can see, the setback from the road, because of the angle of the Burr Trail, is quite a large setback. So,
yeah.
Didn't seem like that was a problem we'd end up talking about, so I didn't spend any time on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good to go?
Okay. So hopefully some of you have or can find a commercial standards review worksheet, and we can talk about which ones of these standards apply and which don't, and how they apply in the case of those that do. And I thought we'd buzz through it fairly quickly, but I want everybody to be comfortable with what's in here, and talking about a specific project in my mind is the best way to do that. So we start with standard 1A, no commercial in the Mesa Tops overlay. This is not in the Mesa Top overlay, so it's an absolute policy and it's not relevant. So you can check the not relevant box if you've got a worksheet handy. Watercourse buffers. I kind of wanted to get this in a site where it would affect a watercourse, but that was more difficult to do than I thought. So that's an absolute that's not relevant in this case as well, but we would certainly talk about it. And if you can imagine plunking this down some other parts of town, that would become more relevant. Moderate slopes, the same way. There are places where something like this would cross a 15% slope or a 10% slope, but this one doesn't. So there is zero points there because it's not relevant. And so we're flying through them. Crossings is an absolute that only applies if you have a slope or a buffer. So that one you can check off as not relevant as well. Then we get down to views and natural features, which at least in theory applies to any place that you would build. And the question here is, are they taking the best advantage of the site, whatever views might be available from it or whatever views it might obstruct? Are they using any natural features? This site is fairly boring. It's flat, and the one building is already there. So I don't know what we would say about 1E, but I'm going to point out 2A because I think it supports or at least interacts with 1E, which is retaining vegetation. And they're proposing to retain almost every tree that's there. So that would be, in a sense, taking advantage of natural features. So the question that we would have to answer is whether or not this has an adverse impact on views or some natural feature of the landscape, or whether it has a positive impact or whether it's neutral. And then we would score it accordingly. It can't be not relevant because it's there. So we have to decide whether it's adverse, positive, or neutral in this case. What do you think?
Neutral.
Go in neutral. It's a pretty big building back there, but given where it's sitting, it's not really in much of anybody's view.
What did you say the height of the
it's bean 30 feet tower? At the eaves. And then the bean tower would probably be right at 50 feet, that elevator. I'm trying to remember what those things dimensions are, but it's going to be noticeably taller than the building.
How tall are the trees on average?
I'd say those trees are in the 40 to 50 foot range. Some of them probably only 30. I don't think you're going to see that steel building from the front very much, given the trees that are there and the trees that are going to be planted. Because you've got that row of trees in front. There's four trees in front of the parking and then a row of trees down the driveway access. You could ask for more trees on the other side or something like that if you wanted to. And we'll get to landscaping as we go down through the list.
I'll give it a neutral.
Okay, so let's say that we're going to score this a zero. It has no good or bad impacts. Retaining vegetation, they could lose some points if they were taking away too much vegetation. I don't obviously know how good all those trees are, but as I saw it from the air, you only have to take out two trees, one of which is that scruffy tree that's right up on the Burr Trail, and the other of which is an even scruffier tree that's over by those old corrals. So they're taking out a little bit of existing vegetation, but leaving most of it. So you can decide to give them anywhere from a zero to a minus two on that.
So how does it work in other towns, Lee? I mean, you know, retaining vegetation, what percentage is good,
well,
what percentage is bad?
You know, it varies from site to site because of what the vegetation's function is, right? If you were taking out a tree that blocks the view, that would be different than a tree that wasn't so critical to the appearance of the property. And so that's why this is a relative policy with points instead of an absolute, is you have to be able to account for the particular sites. There are communities, a fair number of communities, that would set a percentage there and make them go count the mature trees and say how many they're taking out. I would say that we got 6 mature trees over on the other side that are on this parcel. I'm taking out two, so that's 2 out of 8. That's a quarter of all the trees that are there. And you can't really, for this policy, you got to keep the idea that they're going to add some trees separate. because this is about retaining existing vegetation. So you can ding him a point or two there, or you can say that it's a wash.
I think I'd say that it's a wash, depending upon the landscape plan that would be with this.
Right.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So protecting vegetation during construction, we'd have to tape off and protect those existing trees. And they would have to give you a plan for doing that, and you don't have those details here, but that would be one that it's important, an absolute policy that's important for this particular project. Stormwater, I didn't spend much time on that because our requirement is the same as state law. Mm-hmm. They have to do it one way or the other. And so I did not do that. I imagine that the state would probably make them put a swale in, a bioswale, for the rooftop off that processing plant, and that could run down the row of planted trees that's down the west side. But one way or the other, that's going to be you determining whether it complies with what the state wants or not. We're good with that? So let's say that they were able to do that. Utilities. That would be in Chapter 10 of the ordinance, and that would be them complying with whatever the water company requests for connection. And we kind of assume they're going to comply with that, because if they don't, they won't have water to operate with, right?
Right.
Access to Highway 12. The access point to Highway 12 would be in accord with state law, but this isn't to Highway 12, so that's not relevant. And then you got access to other roads, and you can see where I threw the access into the river trail. And you guys probably know better than I do whether that would be a problematic spot for a point of access. It looks pretty flat and pretty good lines of sight to me, but you guys know it way better than I do.
So Lee, this is Josie. Last month, we decided that that was going to change, that commercial development would have to have access to Highway 12?
Right.
We did.
And you're going to see that when we get down to the parking too. That hasn't been updated.
Yeah. I thought I updated this checklist here. Standardized commercial signs. I'll have to go back and read what I did for sure. I guess I wasn't thinking hard about that when I came up with this example.
I guess that would be a follow-up question. I didn't see any documents with last month's updates. Did I miss an email?
I sent out what I thought were the updated documents, and I'm going to have to get back in here and make sure that I sent the right ones.
I didn't see that. Did anybody else get that email?
I thought
no?
I sent it to
no.
I did not.
I don't think we received it.
Oh, okay. Well, that would answer that question then. Okay.
I did send out that packet. I think everyone got the packet, and I think the version I have up on the screen right now may be the one from October. So give me a second here.
So on that, you do actually show two entrances. Isn't there an entrance from Highway 12 into that building?
Well, there is right now. There's a dirt, rather scrappy entrance, and I felt like when I was thinking it through, that you would probably want to come in from the Burr Trail, but all you would have to do is flip the driveway I drew to the Burr Trail over, and you'd have it on Highway 12, and then you'd have to talk to UDOT about having the access by that curve.
Well, and UDOT has just gone in there and changed that whole curve right there.
Mm-hmm.
They made it a little bit wider there on the west side,
okay.
I think I'm right. And then there's a turning lane kind of that goes down the Burr Trail. So your access off of Highway 12 would probably be better.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Well, for the sake of the exercise, let's say the road goes to the left instead, over to Highway 12. It'd have to be approved by UDOT. The problem is that you also have the exit to the Burr Trail right there, and so those
right.
two access points would be quite close together.
Yeah.
But in order to approve this, it's an absolute that it would have to have access to Highway 12. So that would be need to be worked out.
Okay. So we've got a big question there, which is why we're going through this. So we can move on from that because we can't fully resolve it without a little more effort anyway.
Yeah.
Utilities underground, you could lose some points, but this isn't, I'm assuming that this would have utilities coming in underground. I don't know what people do there. They may be overhead right now. I don't know. That's something that I don't know the answer to in Boulder.
They are overhead.
Are they? So they'd have to put everything on their property underground to not lose points here, or to gain points, can only gain. So they could do what they've got now, or they could put it underground and gain the way this is written.
Yeah.
So let's say that they're not going to put it underground, leave it as a zero. Dimensional standards, it meets all the setbacks to table two without any big issues. And then we had maximum parking, which would be 15 spaces if it was in an LDR zone, or 50 with direct access to 12. If it was in the GMU. So it could certainly have 16 spaces if the access goes over to Highway 12. And it would be one space too high on this one, at least.
I have a question on that. I think that needs to change. If it's just, I don't know if we have, well, we probably do have low density along Highway 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have to stay, but we'll have to change that language because it's not applicable standard depends on access to Utah 12. That would be an absolute.
Right. Well, this is absolute already, so it would go along with it once we change the other one.
Right. Yeah, we'll just need to change the language on the sheet.
So, and then parking for a dwelling, there isn't a dwelling on this site the way it is, so that's not relevant. And I'm going to say the parking complies, assuming that we have access to 12. Land use intensity. Now, this is an interesting one. You can either take away points or add points here because it's compatible with what surrounds it. It's going to replace. The interesting thing here is that there's already a steel shed that's almost that large on this property. So what you're doing is trading off a good new building for an old crummy building. And you're not actually changing how much of that lot is covered by building. Very much at all. You're changing how much of it is covered by parking, by a lot, right? But you're not really technically changing. I mean, that old shed, as far as I can tell from the air, doesn't serve much of any function for anything, but the processing plant would only be a little bit wider and basically the same length as that shed. So you're not changing land use intensity in terms of buildings very much, but you are making a lot more drive and parking on here. You're adding a picnic area, which is a different use. So, you know, the question here is this compatible with the intensity of the surrounding properties, the way they're used? You've got the grill and everything across the street. Although it's a ways away, you've got that house to the east. It's a ways west to any other buildings. So what do you think? Does this this level of use of that, this intensity of use of that, work with what surrounds it, or is it too much?
I'd probably give it a negative one. Simply not. Well, the grills across the street, yes, but then you have the corral and so on, and cattle use on the right side of it, and you know, the sort of historic looking old house on the left. So I think it definitely intensifies the use.
Okay, I can see that.
I'd give it the benefit that it's a dry lot now. Not disagreeing with what Matt says, but if you look to the right of the picture, you can see where the water flow is. If we were proposing it on that spot, it would definitely be increasing in intensity by far in my mind. So I would be fine with the negative one or even a neutral.
Okay. Well, let's leave it as a negative one and see what happens. Outdoor workspaces have to be set back the same as the buildings. And they are even further set back. So I think we're going to say that that complies with table two. Then we get down to buffering and screening. And this is an important one for this project. There's that row of trees that would be planted in front. They're behind the sign and the drive. And then there's a row of new trees coming on down the west side, which would definitely add to the greener appearance as you're coming up the highway from the west. And so you got to say, okay, is that good buffering for a use like this? Do they need to do more? What do you think?
Well, I guess I'm picky. I'm wondering what kind of trees, and I do know when trees grow tall, there's the in-between spaces with shrubbery as well that can knock out some of the lower viewpoints.
Right. Well, and you could certainly say, hey, we're going to add something here. Let's see, what would we grow in Boulder? I think the trees that are out there are probably Chinese elms, huh?
Cottonwood.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They didn't look like cottonwoods to me. But,
okay.
I can only tell from the air, so you guys know way more than I do. I'm going to say that these are hackberries that will withstand the dry conditions and the heat of Boulder and be a little bit different tree, but that I'm actually pretty darn sure works in that environment. Once they get a good crown on them, they'll have a 35, 40-foot crown. They'll be in trees. But Matt is correct. Once that tree begins to attain some maturity, you're not going to encounter foliage until you're at least 10 feet off the ground. So you could say, and this would illustrate how you use the point scoring to negotiate, you could say, you know, we're willing, we like what you've done so far, and we would give you a zero or a plus one for that. If you give us a row of shrubs that runs down the west side there, and those could be decorative shrubs, there's a lot of different things that would work in Boulder, we'll give you a plus two. So you guys have the ability to negotiate here, right?
Yeah.
And they have the ability to offer and say, well, we'd like to get a plus two, so we'll give you some shrubs. So
yep.
Let's say that they're willing to throw some shrubs in there, and there would be a whole host of things that they could do that would work there. At that point, would we give them a plus two for this effort?
Yeah, maybe.
The way I look at it when I think about this is I ask myself, how much of an investment are they making?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that installing that many trees and that many shrubs is actually a substantial investment.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess I would be inclined to say it's worth a plus two if, in fact, they are going to deliver on what we're talking about here.
I agree.
So plus two. So they're doing well there. Buffering, so, but what, yeah, there we go. Buffering screening. And then we get down to conflict with parking, which is just to say that your outdoor spaces cannot compete with or conflict with required parking spaces. And in this case, they don't. So that'd be an absolute they comply with. Outdoor sales setback, there really isn't. Now here's a question for you that we might need to clarify a little bit depending on your opinion about it. Is that picnic area an outdoor sales area? Or is that just a reasonable accessory use to the indoor sales?
I say it's accessory. I think it's, I actually see that as a bonus nice area for people to sit.
Right. Well, it means that you're preserving the existing trees as well. So I guess we're going to say that we're good with no conflict with parking. Outdoor sales setback, everything is so far from the roads that it meets the setbacks. Outdoor sales frontage, we're calling it an accessory use, not sales. So I guess it's essentially irrelevant. Outdoor sales landscaping, again, if we're calling it accessory to the indoor use, then it's not relevant. Conflict with parking comes up twice. Not relevant in this case. Now we're down to the parking and traffic, which is the one that says, hey, if you think this is going to create congestion, either parking congestion or traffic flow congestion, if you think it's going to be a traffic problem, this is your opportunity to say, nope, that's not good. And since we made this one absolute, you would be saying no, period.
Mm-hmm. That one's not an absolute, though. Are we on number nine?
Yeah, we're on number nine. And in the we changed it to absolute at the last meeting.
Oh, okay.
Curtis and I had a conversation about maybe we should change it back because this is tough to make things absolute, but that's up to you guys. I don't know that I see big congestion issues with this in this particular location, but you guys know a lot more about how traffic flows in Boulder than I do.
So I'm glad that we have it as an absolute. I have the old sheet up on one of my other screens, so I'm glad that we changed it. I think prior to that renovation that we just did with UDOT, that this would have been a problem. Mm-hmm. But now we have a turning lane and a widened road. In my opinion, that makes that an ideal corner for a commercial.
And, okay. You know, if there was perhaps an issue, then you could have the access to Highway 12 and your original driveway out to Burr Trail to mm-hmm. reduce the traffic on Highway 12.
Yeah.
Yep. So you guys think this is probably okay from a traffic point of view then? Probably complies?
I don't know. I have some reservations about it coming out on the Burr Trail Road at all. Just because it's a narrow road and there's a lot of in and out from the parking lot of the Burr Trail Grill and the Outpost. I'm not sure about where there's been some confusion about how far UDOT owns in towards, say, the Burr Trail Grill. And at one time, I think they were thinking of taking over that particular right-of-way. And if that happened, it would really squish that area down across the street. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this, but I just, to me,
well, I think, Cookie, what too is our traffic patterns are changing really quickly. Anybody knows that this year we had much more traffic probably than we've ever had coming up the Burr Trail and around that corner. Is that what you're kind of concerned about? Is maybe like the future?
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. Just thinking beyond, like, say, where old Boulder Mesa restaurant was, that was a commercial place. I don't know whether it'll ever be again, but I'm just trying to think ahead of how much more, like, even just local traffic is going to be. I sure feel better about it going out on Highway 12 and maybe not so close to that intersection, but I don't know if that's possible.
Well, going back to our previous conversation earlier, is that map as shown right now would be incorrect because it does not have direct access to Highway 12. So they'd have to use the original, and that map would have to be corrected because it's an absolute that the access has to be to Highway 12. So instead of going to the right towards the Burr Trail, that access would actually go to the left to Highway 12, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Correct. We'd simply have to clear with UDOT what the distance is between the Burr Trail and the new access point on Highway 12. That's sufficient for safety.
Yeah, I would be fine if that, you know, if that access were switched for sure and not even have it as a secondary access out on the Burr Trail Road. I'd rather have that like blocked with a tree or something than. But other than that, you know, I think it would probably be fine.
What kind of tree? Just kidding.
Yeah, because that access doesn't exist right now. And we wouldn't have to remove, as you said, the scraggly tree up front. So it would be blocked. If you look at the original map.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of slack for playing with how that access comes in or out. And clearly in the past, people have driven directly off of 12 into this property.
Mm-hmm.
There's that sort of dirt trail. I hate to call it a driveway because it's barely there, but, you know, people have obviously driven off of 12. They're back a little further west into this property. So, you know, you would have to see if UDOT would accept that as a point of access.
Right.
Well, I would
assume... Lee, I hate to say that's a drive older.
Hmm?
What did you say, Matt?
I said, I hate to say it, but that's what you call a driveway in Boulder.
Yeah. Right. At any rate, people have used it, so it may have may have non-conforming rights as far as UDOT's concerned. So we can certainly flip the driveway around and run it down that and say that it has access to 12. And that, I think, resolves people's problems, and it would comply if we put access over to 12. So...
No, yeah. I think the problem would be what is the plat map line?
Mm-hmm.
It's the plat map, but that's not their property that's currently showing access to Highway 12, and that could, of course, be an issue.
Right. Yeah, we'd have to look and see if they own it. I mean, the purpose is of thinking this through, we have to assume that they own it and move on. Off-street parking, the table you guys have in your ordinance basically would require 4 spaces for this, and they're providing 16, And so the only question that one might have is whether they're providing more than they really need to, which we haven't written up. We haven't said that excessive parking is a problem. That would require a change in the standards. So, you know, nominally the way it's set right now, it complies with Table 3 with no trouble. And that's an absolute. So, but that would raise the question, if you want to, of is that too much pavement? May not be something that you have to worry about very much at this point in time.
Well, I guess that does bring up something I'd like to comment on. Back to the 50 parking spaces is a lot of parking spaces in comparison mm-hmm. to businesses in our county. Mm-hmm. And if we did have that flexibility to say it's too much, then that might be worth the effort. Because as it stands right now, they could have up to 50 and we wouldn't have a say.
Well, let me tinker with that and send you a little modification. We won't change Table 3. We won't change the amounts that would be required. We'll just say that if they're providing more than Table 3 requires, that you guys can talk about it.
That'd be good. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All righty, and then we have RV parking in Chapter 10. I pulled this out of Chapter 10 and moved it in here where it really belongs. It says that you should have RV parking in commercial parking lots, and I did not specifically add an RV space to what's here. There's plenty of room to do it. I just didn't designate it, so. And then you can't park in the front setback, and this is way past the front setback. So I guess it probably complies with both of those as well. And there's a limit on the parking in the frontage. You can't have the whole frontage in parking. And this this actually... I guess you have to decide if parking that's that far off the road is actually on the frontage. I'd have a hard time arguing. It is. It's the parking that's in front, but it's not up on the road.
Right.
The intent of the policy, this doesn't violate the intent of that policy, the way I understand it. So... And then buffering and screening the parking. We've already talked about buffering and screening, but they could get extra points for that. Internal landscaping in the parking is not proposed. You could take away points for that if you so desired, although those are small parking lots. Building access is supposed to be perpendicular to the road, which it is. So there's three relatives in a row there that we would need to talk about the scoring of. They have buffered their parking from the road and on the sides. So I'd say you probably have to give them some positive points there. I don't know what much more they would do. So they'd have positive eight there.
Building access.
Yeah. And internal landscaping they haven't done on the parking since they're small lots. I'd probably say that's a zero. Building access, given that the building was already there, I would be reluctant to give them points. I would say, hey, you're fine. It's a wash. We're not going to take points away. But they're just using what they had to work with. They're not making an investment. They're fixing up the building, but and then we get through that whole list of potential nuisances: discharge permit, runoff, air quality permit, hazmat, outdoor lighting. You'd have to check that. You'd have to have a lighting plan, light trespass. You'd have to see if their lights are going to affect that neighboring house. Should be pretty easy to avoid that. Dust and smoke, heat and glare, noise. noxious weeds is a state law requirement, and then they would have to show you how they're going to handle their solid waste, and they buffered and screened that, and I did not show you the dumpster here. So we'd have to have them put a dumpster in here so that question was answered. And then you get into the interesting ones of using disposable food containers, not permitted. They'd have to comply with that. Signs. I think this sign complies with the requirements of Chapter 10. Operating hours. Now, here's one that you could talk about. Would you need to limit operating hours in that spot? That'd be something that would make a difference. It really doesn't affect other residences than that house there to the immediate east of it. It doesn't have a drive-in or a drive-through, so standardized commercial, it's not going to be standardized commercial. That's irrelevant. They didn't propose an accessory dwelling or employee housing, which they could have gotten some points for. Reflectivity. And I didn't spec out the materials here, so we certainly can at least talk about the idea that that building would have to be a matte finish. And we talk about its color. Building lines, that building doesn't have broken lines. Detached forms, really, they're kind of using detached forms because they have the processing plant in a separate building. They didn't add on to that existing old gas station. Landscaping, again, they could get some additional points there. You can run up a lot of points for landscaping the way we've got this set right now. We might need to talk about that. They would have to try to zero out on reflectivity. You might be able to give them points on the right color. Building lines, this probably, being a big, massive building, I would probably want to take some points off the way it's proposed right now. There's nothing that breaks up the building lines. It's not very visible from the street or anything, but I'd probably give it a -1 for not trying to comply with that. That at all. Detached forms, again, they're working with what they had to give. I don't know if you'd give them points on that or not, but it wouldn't be any worse than a zero. So there we are. And, you know, looking at the points that I've scribbled on here, they lose some on land use intensity, and then they gain a whole bunch for landscaping, so they would come out with plenty of points to be approved. And the only absolute that really is problematic is that it would have to go out to Utah 12.
Yep.
So do people feel pretty comfortable? I have one thought, but I want to see what you guys have to say. First, do people feel pretty comfortable about running something like this through here?
I have one question, Lee.
Sure.
Is there any place, back up, when we talked about Dove Creek and all the beans they grow over there, and mm-hmm. you discovered a sort of a heritage bean that you loved, and they had a business built around these heritage beans, and they grow them right there and process them, and then they have a storefront to sell them. So is there any place on the worksheet that would account for like two different scenarios? One would be somebody just wants to come into Boulder and bring some beans in process beans and sell them. The other would be that they discovered a heritage bean that they found grew wonderfully on the Roundy property there and made arrangements for the whole south, I think it's 90 acres or something, to be put into beans and then process those and sell them those, so they were part of the, you know, integral to the community. How would those two different scenarios work into scoring sheet?
Well, that's a really good question. And if you remember all the way back to 2018, we actually had a standard that we used as an example in that workshop that talked about promoting local crafts and agriculture. And if you wanted to go back to that, we kind of got away from it. It would fit in with where we talk about drive-ins, drive-through, standardized commercial. We could easily write a standard there that says that you would encourage, you're not going to, you know, that you would give people some points for local processing. And you could then ask yourself, do you want to take away points for stuff that's not local? That's pretty hard to do because you get into this gray area of, you know, these guys might sell local beans, but then they might, you know, have some other products for sale there that they brought in. What would the mix be? You don't want to regulate that too tight or have to try to regulate that too tight. So I think probably you'd want to stick with just awarding points. And in this case, they wouldn't really need additional points because landscaping has carried them up to a good plus score. But let's say that they had lost some points for crossing a slope. The slope is relative. So they had lost some points there, or retaining vegetation they hadn't done as good a job on. You know, you could make up some points that they would have lost under things like that by encouraging local agricultural product processing. So I'm perfectly happy to put it in there if you want to. It would be a good statement of, you know, what the town's intent and what the town's policy is.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Me as well.
Back in there. Okay, well, that was a great question. Any other questions or observations here?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took away the retail part of this proposal, this would just fall under an agriculture endeavor, even with the processing plant. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
Okay.
Definitionally, the reason that it's commercial is because it has the storefront. If you're going to encourage...
That was very helpful to go through that and see, you know, how it plays out. I think there's no better way to do it, so... I still have to consider it, but I like it overall.
Cool.
I do too. And the interesting thing about that building is it wouldn't actually have to be a retail building. It could be used for something else, like Josie was saying, and it would still be an agricultural project. Right?
Processing plant.
I mean, if you left it vacant and just put up the processing plant, then you'd have an application for a processing plant that didn't even include that old gas station, right? So you'd just be looking at the application for the processing plant itself there in, you know, an agricultural area.
Yeah, it would just be a building permit. I mean, not that we need to go there, but just hypothetically that could gas station, if there was a problem for some reason they didn't get enough points, the gas station could be storage and they could sell their product across the street.
That's true. I mean, there's there's a lot of different combinations of any of these things. I thought, you know, hey, you've got an existing building that's part of the character of Boulder. Let's see if we can actually put it to use. You know, that building may not actually be capable of being remodeled and restored to good use. But if it was, then I kind of like the idea of, you know, encouraging people to use what's already on the ground rather than build new.
Yeah, and and this is for the Planning Commission, you know, as just a note, it seemed to me, and I'm curious about what you all think, that it allowed us enough flexibility to sort of hold the integrity of Boulder's character in place and give us some wiggle room around that and sort of steering it in the right way. Did you guys get that sort of feeling?
I agree.
Yeah,
I do too. Yeah. I mean, this is what we've been looking for, right? As far as,
yep,
you know, as far as why we're putting all this time and effort into this whole process. Like Matt says, it looks like it's working. And so all the work that's been done with Lee, it's finally looking, and these examples are showing us that it is working. It could work. It's working for us. It could work for us.
I'd like to say too that I'm glad that Josie brought up that the absolute part of accessing commercial enterprises accessing to Highway 12. I don't know if it should be that way on with every application, but this is certainly a good example of where you had the two alternatives of an access drive, but it should definitely go to Highway 12. To me, that's the default. But I don't know if anything has to be changed along those lines, but I do agree with that accessing Highway 12 if it's a commercial venture.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a critical absolute, maybe, you know, at least for now, so we don't sell out our residential neighborhoods to commercial use.
Yep.
I agree. And I think, you know, we've done a lot of good work on home businesses. It's come a real long way, you know, through this process. And it gives our residents opportunity to, you know, make money as a home business. And I would agree, protecting our residential neighborhoods is really important, keeping that traffic down, the commercial activity off of the highway or on the highway.
Yep.
Hey, cool.
Yeah, I really like this process.
I have three things, maybe four. The first is that I did not make it clear about the access to Highway 12 thing. That's my bad. Probably bad notes. The second is that I think that it would be easy, if you want me to put in something that encourages the, you know, local food processing, local crafts. I can add that very easily if you want me to. The third thing would be that you rack up a lot of points if you do a good job of landscaping here. And I think that I would like to go back in and crank, not going to change any of the standards per se, but I think I would take some of the weight off of landscaping. Because these guys, the way I had it coming up, they would have ended up with at least 11 positive points, even with losing some points on the ones they lost points on. Would be on the,
I think that
the building line
balance,
and I would just rebalance it a little bit. I wouldn't change anything. I'd just shift the balance back on that. And then the fourth thing that occurs to me is that if you want to encourage the reuse of existing buildings, we could put that in there. I don't know that that's very important in Boulder, but this brings it up, and it's worth asking the question before we finish our work here.
I don't think we have enough existing buildings to have that be relevant.
Okay, so those three things, is there anything else that we need to... Oh, the maximum parking thing, that would be the fourth thing, is that... because these guys could, if it had access out to 12, they could put 50 spaces there. They would not need 50 spaces, but they could. So we need to encourage people to not add too much pavement. So yeah, we should change that. So
yeah,
that'd be great.
I think 16 for this is not too much overkill. It's maybe a little overkill. But people like to have extra parking. And if you're going to have some RVs in there, which you might have people towing trailers and stuff, then you could use that pavement effectively for RV parking.
Oh, that's true.
So if you guys are good with those four changes, I will send out yet one more version of this. And my question beyond that is, are we then close enough for you to decide to take it to a hearing? Do you want to do more examples? How do you want to move forward? I felt like an example was the best way to start tonight, and I think it really did help. So we could come up with still another example, one more example, if you want to run one more through. I could come up with something different, but up to you.
How does everyone feel? Should we go one more month and then have a public hearing right after the first of the year? That would put us into right at the first of the year. Or is anybody ready to go next month? Does anybody have a feeling on this?
You might want to consider January doing one more example, but pick an example that's kind of different. So you get a variety. The other thing is that I don't know what you're going to decide tonight, but as you think that through, think about whether you're going to have public hearings on the cell towers in December or when you're going to take those to public hearing too, because that would be a lot of public hearing if you did cell towers and this entire thing in one shot.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially during holidays, you know, having meetings during holidays is hard. The one thing that I like to do is be able to review the final language. We could still do that if the hearing, you know, as long as there was good communication and changes available before that. But it would be nice to have the final language before we move forward.
Right. Okay. Well, if you could
decide.
Yeah, let's go. Over in December. Hearing in January, then.
What'd you say, Matt?
I suggest a public hearing in January for this. Okay.
I think that would be good, because we do need to work on those cell towers. That seems kind of important too. Not that this isn't, but would that be okay with you then? One more example, Lee, and.
Yeah, and, I can dream up one more example, and you guys would do that in December then?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So I will have these changes out to you. We end the semester of teaching next week because we're sending everybody home before Thanksgiving. So I'll get these changes out to you fairly quickly, and then I'll dream up a different example that has different types of complications in it for the December meeting. And if any of you have a thought about what type of example you'd like to see, then let me know. Okay. I thought this actually fit Boulder pretty darned well.
This was great.
Something that somebody would actually maybe do in Boulder. And I can come up with, I can come up with other something else. But if you guys say, hey, there's a certain type of project that I would be concerned about, or that I would have questions about, then tell me, and I'll see if I can come up with that type of project and pick a place to plunk it down somewhere along the highway.
Well, here's a question. I'd almost prefer a non-commercial and a more of a the standard developmental run through again.
Well, except that this is commercial development standards, and so we don't have anything new to do with non-commercial.
Okay,
that's a future. Yeah. The residential is a future step.
No, what was the one we worked on? Was that commercial we went through last month? I guess it was then, huh?
Yeah, it was.
On the GMU. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I just got confused.
Yeah. Yep.
No worries.
So, yeah, I'll come up with something and plunk it down somewhere along the highway, maybe closer to the creek or something like that to throw in some wrinkles.
A fish hatchery.
Aquaculture? How about that? We could try doing aquaculture off Boulder Creek and have a storefront where they sell fish.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That'd be great, except for they dry it up every year.
Yeah, I know. That, I'm not sure that's a winner in Boulder. But we can come up with something that's a little less of a stretch, probably.
Well, thank you, Lee.
Sure. Curtis asked me to say just one word about cell towers before I sign off, and that is that it's a good idea to have the fewest number of towers you can and to encourage people to co-locate. And so I think that should be, and I gave you a memo that just changed the plan language a little bit to support that more strongly.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not possible to attain that, but often it is. And so that's my thought, is to make one tower that covers as much territory as possible with everything on it, rather than multiple facilities, would be probably the ideal for Boulder. But I'll let you guys hash that out. I will get these changes out to you pretty quickly, and then I'll cook up another example that we can do at the December meeting.
So did everyone see memo 10? That's what you're talking about, Lee, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a two-sentence addition. It's no big deal, but it just makes the town's intent a little more clear.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
All righty, I'll see you guys in a month.
Okay, have a good good Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too. Enjoy.
And did everyone see that Josie's actually trying to get it on phone right now, that she's having a...
Yeah.
Okay, just so that everybody knows. Okay, so let's see. We have initial public comments. We'll take a few minutes if anyone. Peg, are you there, Peg?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so we have initial public comments. We're going to open up that.
Okay, so if you're on video, just wave your hand or else raise your hand through participants. I'm not seeing any raised hands. Not seeing any waving that I can tell.
Hi, I did just send a note in via chat. It could be used as a public, that'd be fine.
Oh yes, okay. Anna, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I keep trying to mute. What did I write? I can only see part of it. Can you read it, please, Peg? Because I can't see it anymore.
Yes. Donna said she would like to mention that it seems the final language should be available to the public at least a few weeks before the hearing if possible. So that makes sense. As soon as we get the final stuff that would be presented for public hearing, I can post that on the web. Okay.
Thank you, Peg. Is there anything else?
I'm not seeing anyone. If somebody wants to say something, please just shout it out. Not seeing anything.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and discuss the cell tower CUP applications with FirstNet and the DW tower. Curtis, are you prepared to help us run through this?
Okay, there we go. I'll do the introduction, but because of the technical nature, I'm happy to see that Ken and Cynthia, Ken from DW Tower and Cynthia from ComNet have joined us so that they can also answer questions about their application, because some of these things are quite technical and this is an unusual situation because we really don't know a lot of how this stuff works. The central question, as Lee just stated, seems to be how and where do you want to provide for cell tower communication and communication needs? This is going to be a big part of the future, I guess, of modern culture. And so we have to deal with it. There are FCC regulations to consider, but they do allow municipalities to have a say in how they mitigate some of the impacts. We did that about 2.5 months ago by passing an ordinance, and that ordinance predated these applications. So both applicants have been provided a copy of the ordinance, and they know that that comes into play now. At this point, we have two sites that are under consideration, and I sent those out to you earlier and again today, kind of as a summary.
Yep.
Both sites have fiber optics available, which I'm told is an imperative to make this work properly or optimally. And so the fiber optics, of course, is to the South Central building already. And then when they finish I'll call it the last mile of fiber, it's probably more like the last 3 miles, but they say that early next year they'll have fiber done, and then it's no longer over the air and then fiber around town. It's fiber all the way from Escalante and maybe even beyond that. So it's pretty optimal for a town this small to have it available here. The other site up on Thompson Ledge, they will get their fiber on the telephone pole line. So the power that comes up, they'll just add another wire that will provide fiber. So it's already available to the South Central site here by the school and the church, and it will easily be made available up to Thompson Ledge. The ordinance as drafted gives the PC the opportunity. It's kind of a different kind of an ordinance, a little like the scoring sheet you were just talking about, but it really operates off the new ordinance 2020-3, and that ordinance gives you the ability to weigh the benefits and the drawbacks of a location and each location and to try and aggregate or co-locate, as the industry term, co-locate these things. Now, I don't know whether or not ComNet and DW Tower have been talking to each other yet. I'll leave that for Ken and Cindy to address. But right now, they both have applications on the table. I have not signed either application as complete yet, because there's still remaining questions under the ordinance. So that's why I brought this on as a preliminary discussion for you guys to educate yourself, to get your feet under you, to ask questions of Ken and Cynthia or Cindy. So anyway, let's kind of roll through what it is.
Okay.
For the benefit of those that are tuning in who wouldn't have received this and may not have dialed into the web. So this is the existing South Central building, and there's the existing, it's about a 30, maybe a little over a 30-foot tower. It's been there for approximately 20 years. And this is the South Central property. The school is just to the east. The church is just to the south across the road. So here, that's the existing. Here's the new proposal that ComNet has made. And ComNet, as I understand it, is primarily a first responders network that states sign on to. And then I guess Cindy will have to explain it better, but the counties then sign on to. And so it's to create a statewide network of first responders. Now, what provisions they provide for co-location on there for other kind of users, cell tower users, the thing like DW Tower wants a 6-foot dish that'll shoot at Mount Pinnell and provide cell service to Bullfrog, picks up fiber. And anyway, I'll get into that. So this is a 55-foot monopole. That's their current proposal under their current application. So Peg, if you'll go down to the next one. You're all familiar with Thompson Ledge, and if you can see up, you probably can't see my cursor, but it's right here in about the middle. There you go. That's the tower. And then that tower, I was up there with Steve, the mayor, and they kind of showed us what it was going on. We were also over at over the South Central building, another meeting with Elizabeth and I were. And so they kind of tried to explain it to us, but it's pretty technical. The proposed 60-foot lattice tower is substantially more beefy than the three-legged existing tower. Now, the existing tower has been there for, I'm not sure how long, decades. And I guess it was, Ken will have to tell us if he's researched it, but I guess it was put up somehow in cooperation with the county or by the county. And it was back in the days of TV rabbit ears when there was an initiative or a law or something that said you have to provide some kind of service to everybody's television down in town from whatever relay stations are available. And so in those days, you could get 3 or 4 channels and off your rabbit ears or rig up an antenna, however you did it. And that's what that tower did for a long time. My understanding is that that tower would come down, then it's 60 feet tall as well, but it's three-legged and it's much more spindly. The new tower would be a substantial four-legged latticework kind of a tower. And it would pick up the existing antenna on the existing tower. And so you'd still be able to get TV with your rabbit ears, I guess. This is from the post. That other view was from the east. This is more looking from the post office in the west.
And, too bad you couldn't have gotten any closer.
Yeah, I could go out and take you some photos for next time. I just used the photos that were given to me. I could go. Well, let's see. There is a picture of the tower here. Go on down, Peg. Here's what the tower looks like.
Okay, yeah.
And, it's a latticework tower. And the thing at the bottom is a fenced in area because there's some hardware they need down there, some cabinetry and power stations and et cetera. And the tower, the intention of this tower is to be big enough and strong enough to co-locate any number of users. The round disc down here is DW Towers disc that would shoot to Mount Pinnell and then from Pinnell to Bullfrog. So it picks up fiber at this location, then Pinnell, then Bullfrog. The other, Ken's going to have to tell me what all of these are. I'm really not. They're proposed in.
Okay.
So, Ken, do you want to talk about your tower here?
Okay. Basically, this is just showing the 60-foot tower, and those panels, or there's three, it's showing three carriers that it could accommodate effectively, maybe four. And the reason that DW Tower got involved here was we were trying to find fiber and trying to find a microwave shot to go to Mount Pinal, because we've been working for several years with the Park Service and the folks at Bullfrog trying to bring in, improve their cell service. So we initially looked at the location that ComNet is applying for. There were some issues after talking with Curtis and other folks there in town, perhaps with that, and not having a substantial enough tower. And so then we were aware of Thompson Ledge, and that would work also, and it is an existing communication site also. So in applying for the CUP, you know, where the DW Tower's main focus at that point in time is to try to get a microwave shot. Since we're building a structure, we could build a structure that it would be, could accommodate other users. And that seemed to be the desire of the town, perhaps. And so that's what this is representing, what it would look like. And Curtis, I did send some other simulations that are close up that I sent those in as part of the final application package. So you could get those to the folks.
Okay, yeah, those would be the PC members have probably seen those, because I sent your packages, both yours and ComNet's. I sent everything to them.
Okay.
But the public has not seen them, so I'll make sure I get some of those up.
There's a close-up view of the tower in as a visual simulation, just like the ComNet proposal, so in that package.
Okay, I have questions for Ken here. This is Matt Cochran on the PC. So first off, I see that the microwave shot is actually quite low on the tower. So why the 60 feet, and does it have to be 60 feet high for a specific reason?
The 60 feet is to make it so that you could co-locate other users on it. For the DW,
so it's the amount of hardware you can put on it.
The 60 feet is just so you could put, you know, co-locate all the other uses.
Okay.
The DW Tower part of it could be 30 feet.
Gotcha. And in this situation, with this height, how many other services could you co-locate on it?
Well, that drawing we're looking at right there shows three carriers, and it'll have, and then on top of the tower would be the TV. The existing TV antenna that are on the existing tower. And you would probably have room for one more carrier also on that. The other thing that the tower could be extended in the future if there was a need.
And, you know, part of our ordinance talks about sort of aesthetics. And is there any way, we know we've seen the tree versions and camouflaging such towers. Is there anything that you guys do on that level?
We have done trees. Trees work very well where you have tall trees and they blend in. They meet, you know, match the form and texture. In this case up there, I don't think it would be very effective, would probably draw attention. We do treat the tower with a product called Natina, which turns it a rusty brown color and eliminates any reflective surfaces. And we require that all, like carrier antenna, be painted the dark brown color also.
Okay, thank you.
And, a monopole is something that could be considered also, but it will not accommodate as many uses as a lattice tower will.
Right.
Will this tower accommodate ComNet's antennas?
It could. It could, like we have, it is designed to accommodate at least three wireless carriers.
Okay.
Was that you, Cookie? Is that what your question was?
Yeah, I just wanted to get back to the question that Matt asked, and I was a little fuzzy on what Ken was giving as an answer. But I guess you're saying that as this tower looks right now, there could be three different carriers on there, one being the one that's down by the school. And then so that, just say in a best case scenario, they would be a part of this, and then there would be two more. I don't know how to say this, but what is the possibility of, what is this? Is this like Verizon and all these other cell phone companies, or what is this? What is going to come in?
Well, we don't know, and that's up to the carriers. DW Tower works with the major carriers, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, and we do work with ComNet.
So are you saying then that each one, like ComNet, AT&T, and all that, that would, does it just go into, like, say, this top bank of whatever those three things are?
That drawing represents each of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 panels. That would be one carrier. Say that would be on the top. That would be Verizon. Then below that could be T-Mobile, and that could be AT&T.
Okay, I understand now. Okay.
So typically, if we DW Tower builds something, whoever is the first carrier that is interested gets the highest position, because that's usually the best.
Okay, I was just thinking maybe that they would be bunched in some way, but apparently not. So
that they would what?
That they would be bunched up together a little more compactly than each one having their own bank of whatever those are. So I think, speaking just for myself, it would be really important for the one that's down next to the school to be one of these things that you have on the tower.
Well,
I don't know how we go about that, but.
Yeah, and it's the tower is designed to do, I mean, we can build a tower that could accommodate that, but then that's, that's up to the carriers on where they want to go, where they want to proceed, and where they need to go.
So I think that's one of the things that I'm interested in knowing too, is we have both of, we have DW and the FirstNet. It seems like what we're trying to ask is that we use, it seems like it would be better to have a tower up on the mesa than it would be to have it down in town, because where it is right now is down. It's not the lowest point in town, but up on Thompson Ledge, it's obvious that it would seem that it would be better as far as the connection up there. As far as if the two of you could talk together and get, and work this out.
Hi, this is Jeremy Boone. I'm actually representing ComNet. Cynthia Vandermark is on my team.
Okay.
The one thing I do want to clarify, I mean, there are two separate applications here. Both looking at them, their existing towers looking to be replaced with a new reinforced tower. The tower that you do have located down by the existing location here over
by the school,
as you were indicating, is already an existing tower. It's not a carrier, a bunch of carriers looking to jump onto that tower. You already have two existing carriers with ComNet being one of them. The proposal here is not necessarily a new tower to allow multiple carriers for their first time being on the tower. We're actually looking to build this new tower to help not just the co-location of FirstNet, which is its own carrier where we have our own separate agreements, but you would need to transfer over ComNet, you'd have to transfer over the other carriers. And the other thing that's unique about this though is those other carriers already have agreements and leases set up with termination language. Looking between the two, there's still the existing tower. You're going to have the existing tower down there at the school, and the carriers and such, we'd have to take a look at the termination language. But when you look over to transferring the with actually our proposed upgrade, not only are we going to be transferring everything over, it's part of the same agreements, which the tower up on the hill is actually looking for the ability to have new agreements. So it does get a little complicated when it comes down to lease language, to understand termination rights. How can a carrier actually move? It can't necessarily be assumed that a carrier can move immediately. The goal here though is that we do have an existing on-air site. ComNet is currently there and other carriers there. And our proposal, which was submitted by Cynthia, is actually proposing to install FirstNet on top of that. So it would be three carriers where we have three agreements in place to actually be on air. And that brings to the uniqueness of determining the best facility. Of course, I'm, as the applicant with ComNet, we of course believe that our proposed work will ensure that there's no disruption and that we already have an agreement in place with FirstNet to get these on air. I just wanted to clarify that a little bit, only due to the uniqueness of, the leases, the termination language, and the other abilities to actually, it's not easy necessarily just to transfer them over to a new tower.
Well, this is Cookie Shouse calling. I understand that it might not be easy. There are very few things that are really easy to do. But as you can tell from the photographs that you have, that building has been sitting there. I don't have to explain what it looks like to you, but it is in the middle of our town. And to me, and I'm just speaking for myself as a citizen of Boulder, it has been kind of disrespectful in a sense. I understand that you're a commercial business and everything, but we also feel like we have a need to express ourselves as far as, since it is in the middle of town, and even though it is difficult, it would be wonderful if you guys could put your heads together and figure this out. We don't know how to do that. And as you said, there is language that I'm sure that you can come up with, but it would be so great to get rid of that building. And instead of putting up this monopole that's even gonna be taller, it seems like there's gotta be a way to do that. And that's just, it's not me so much as being on the planning commission. It's me having talked to a lot of people in town, and that's their feeling. And I know we really don't have a lot of control, but I'm asking for you to really try hard. That's all I've got to say.
So, another question that I have is this building, is the building itself a South Central building?
Yes, that belongs to South Central.
So that building is not going to go away. Is that their property? Do they rent it?
No, they own that property and that's their building and that's South Central's kind of hub facility here in Boulder.
So that building will always be there?
Right.
Okay.
If you look to the existing thing over here, you correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, but I believe that the ComNet cabinets are off to the west side of the building there down low. That's my memory anyway.
Correct. And the proposal was actually, it's not articulated here on the photo sim, but we have a landscape plan within the actual, with the submittal documents, also referenced within the narrative provided. With a landscape plan to help camouflage the equipment at the at the bottom of the base.
Can I ask you a couple of technical questions? Well, not technical, but just questions.
Absolutely.
This is Curtis, and my first one is ask Cynthia for my email, and please shoot me an email so I can communicate with you because I haven't met you yet. I'm the zoning administrator. The other question is, you said something about the top one. So there's three antennas on this pole. Is ComNet the top one, and then are the other two something else?
On the proposal, ComNet's already existing on that lattice tower that's there today. ComNet would be relocating to the top part. Okay. As indicated, the higher you're on a pole, the better coverage is. And ComNet has agreements in place with major carriers to ensure proper cell service. The one below it, though, is the proposed FirstNet antennas that would be for the FirstNet, the first responders network. And that is actually what initiated this, because the existing location didn't have the capability for another co-locator like these FirstNet antennas. The structure wasn't suitable enough. They didn't have the proper height, which is why the new proposed monopole here, structurally sound, allows additional co-location, which we always, especially any tower owner, is always going to ensure that co-location there. Because, I mean, hey, it's that's the way of the business. But it also ensures that there's not towers being built left and right throughout the states. Mm-hmm. But with this, as indicated, there's two existing carriers at this tower, and the change of moving them to this new location, it continues the existing agreements that are in place, which is the benefit for, it's not necessarily a new tower at this location, it's an upgrade to the existing location by proposing a structure that's capable of not just the existing carriers that will also raise it to provide better coverage, but the additional installation of the FirstNet antennas that is the benefit for public health.
ComNet and FirstNet, are those two different things?
Yes, they are, correct.
Oh.
FirstNet has partnered with ComNet for installation at facilities that ComNet currently are on. So that is where we come into play. So not only does ComNet have their antennas at a specific level, the FirstNet antennas require its own, what they call in the industry, a RAD center. They require its own space on that tower to ensure that they have the necessary coverage that's needed. And working with FirstNet, this is a site that they looked at to ensure that, hey, in order to meet what the government has mandated to ensure that this network is reliable, this is what they have approved facility, and all the agreements are in place to move forward with this location.
Okay. And then the lowest antenna, what's that?
I don't have the answer to that immediately here. I only just got the notice to this meeting, I think yesterday. So I wasn't able to quickly research it, but I believe it's T-Mobile.
Okay. And well, I'll take the rest of my questions for the internet so that I can send an email out to everybody and we can, you know, we can learn more about this. So we'll exchange email, Jeremy.
Sorry. So in this letter, it says that you're also in partnership with AT&T.
FirstNet was partnered with, AT&T is actually what's putting out the FirstNet equipment. So they had the partnership with the government to build and establish the FirstNet network.
But that would be that. So the AT&T connection would strictly be for the first responder network. Then, is that what you're saying?
The first responder network would be always prioritized on those antennas. Correct.
And are they connected with AT&T?
Yes, it works off AT&T's network, but I don't have the necessary technical background to explain how it fully works.
Yeah.
But they put aside the bandwidth and the connectivity for the FirstNet responders. So anybody with the equipment has first access to it. And as indicated in our application, and I know this isn't the time to really discuss even like the details of the FirstNet network, but it is, they're pretty much allocating to ensure that in case there was any emergency and any first responders had the network, they would get priority access to it.
Right, right. I mean, our community, that's another thing that is very valuable to our community right now is the EMT connection, that it's better than than it has been.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Matt, wait a second. Matt, did you have one?
Well, it's not so much for Jeremy, but I'm just considering the ordinances we have passed. I guess this is for you, Curtis. How does this new tower that Jeremy has proposed here fit in with the setbacks? It doesn't compute for me.
Good question. I don't know. I'll research that. I'll have to look at their plot plan and check it against the ordinance.
Yeah, the numbers don't add up for me. That's the only thing
I'm
seeing.
So. I can answer a little bit based on my research of the ordinance here. The setback in regards to the public way, we should be okay on, but of course it's the side setback since it is a very narrow parcel, which we were requesting variance relief for. As one thing we can additionally provide is a what they call a fall zone letter in case anything ever was to occur. It actually ensures that the tower doesn't fall directly down like one-to-one. It would actually collapse upon itself, as a lot of these monopoles are designed throughout these days.
Okay, thank you.
A couple things. I'm not sure if anyone is on the meeting right now who's actually a first responder, but it seems like there's sort of a kind of a one-off radio system that they use right now. I'm wondering if they are even would be connected to this FirstNet first responder system, or is that a change that has to happen on the end of the first responders? I'm kind of clueless asking that question.
That's a good question, Peg.
Do you know, Jeremy?
With it, of course, each state has different agreements with the FirstNet responders, but it is something that would require the FirstNet equipment in order to access it. But there's a lot of different...
Okay.
A lot of different uniqueness to the agreements state by state, but it is something that that currently your state has partnered with FirstNet to ensure that they have the coverage.
Okay, thanks.
And Donna,
I have a question.
Did you catch that, Peg, Donna's comment?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, okay.
Colleen, I have a question.
Yeah. Oh, Judy.
I have actually kind of more of a statement. We're, as a town council, we're trying to make it our objective to make sure that our first responders, we're pushing it now. So that was one of my questions with FirstNet. That's why I got in and read on it. And I don't truly know everything, but I know enough to know that
in an emergency, they said that the chip that goes into the phone is what determines that they get the call first. And so definitely we'd have to have the equipment. But as part of the town council, I'm telling you, we're going to push till we get this right and get our first responders to where they get their calls immediately. And so I'm hoping this tower, wherever they put it, will do it. And I just wanted to throw that in because we're pushing to do that.
Thank you, Judy.
Okay, I have one more comment here. And this is both for Jeremy and Ken. So I'm just trying to get some clarification. So from my understanding right now, we're looking at two applications, one to make a tower 25 feet taller, and another to, although it's the same height, the one on Thompson Ledge, to make it, it's going to be a much more visible tower. And so, and it sounds like from what you are saying, Jeremy, with the legal language and termination stuff and so on, we aren't going to get you two companies working together to co-locate all this stuff on the one tower, which I think in the minds of many Boulder people would be stacking functions and sort of keeping things tidy. am I hearing that right?
I can't fully speak to that. I was just more indicating that as the applicant here for this tower, this is of course our preferred path forward due to the existing location, the existing infrastructure, the existing agreements. This is of course the fastest way to ensure that we deploy FirstNet per the requirements of the government, as well as our client, as well as keeping everything in line at that location.
Thank you.
What is your deadline with the federal regulations for getting this tower built?
For this specific one, I do not have the answer to that right now, but I can easily follow that up once I get it at after this meeting.
That'd be great, because it would be great to know whether or not this is a rush or...
Yes, it was sooner we get the site up, the better.
That's the scope of our project. Yeah, I'm sure that would be true on many levels, but I'm just wondering the bottom line would be probably the federal government that you're dealing with. And I would like to know what their deadline is for you, just for that.
Absolutely.
This is Ken responding to Matt's question. DW Tower first approached Boulder. You know, the need there was the microwave shot. And we looked at this existing location, and in talking with Curtis and other folks and looking at the new ordinance, we noticed that there's an existing facility up on that ledge, and that presents a very good location for a communication site because of the increased elevation. It also works for our shot to Mount Pinnell. And again, that's DW Tower's first priority is being able to locate this microwave dish. But in looking at the ordinance and in getting input from the folks in the town there, you know, we said we could build a co-location facility at that location that could accommodate multiple carriers and other uses. And DW Tower works with all the major players, does work with FirstNet, AT&T, in other locations. So it isn't anything new to us. But like I said, that's up to the carriers on where they need to go and where they want, can go. DW Tower can accommodate those uses if that is the direction that everybody wants to go.
Thank you, Karen.
So the thing I'm wondering is, it seems like we have Verizon, we have AT&T. It almost seems like with the potential that we'd almost need both of them. Like they can, one tower only can handle four, the other tower can handle three. It seems like we have at least 3 to 4 different people that we would bring in as far as using these. Like, so Verizon, so that's kind of what I'm wondering, is the way that our technology is anymore, are we going to need both locations? I'm kind of wondering about that. Is anybody else thinking about that? Okay, doesn't seem like it. Anyway, that's kind of a question that I have, is it seems, and the other thing, Curtis, I don't quite understand, is we're having fiber optics brought into the in the ground instead, and we're still looking at bringing things across space. Is that correct too?
Like, well, the way it's been explained to me, and I'll address both of your questions here. I'm going to take the first one first, and that
thank
is
you.
Like the lowest one on this tower is T-Mobile, and then you've got the FirstNet stuff. So the question is, what does the Planning Commission find as the optimum solution to do, you know, like Judy said, first responders is very important, but the question
right.
is, where's the best place to put it? It's not necessarily where the applicant wants to put it. It's where will it work for the town? Where do you want to put it? Where does the town want to put it? But also bearing in mind that we want to make sure that it works. Now, both of the sites, this is, I think is your second question. Both of the sites have fiber optics to into the town. This building, this is kind of the center, the nerve center right here. And it'll be in ground to here, and then let's say this pole here, then it would go up this pole somehow, and then it goes through the air to your cell phone, for example, or to your first responder radio or whatever it is. Okay, so that makes it really fast, because no longer is it air to air from Escalante to Head of the Rocks down into Boulder and then out, and then the weak cell service again. So this should be fiber optics to here and fiber optics up on top of Thompson Ledge. So that may, and there's power up there, there's everything. So that makes both of those locations equal in terms of the availability of power, the availability of fiber. So then what you want to assess, and we need to find out, is being up high in the air like that, is that a big advantage? And is that even an advantage to FirstNet? Now, I'm going to have to talk to Jeremy offline and explore this a little bit and look at the, how FirstNet works in terms of, is there agreement require them to be that exact location, or would their agreement allow ComNet to move their FirstNet antenna up on top if that's what you decide you want to do? So there's a bunch of questions we still have to answer here, so that you're making a sound decision, balancing all the interests, addressing Judy Drain's very valid statement, and still looking at the ordinance and exercising your prerogative to mitigate the visual impacts and still get maximum result, I guess what I'm saying. So anyway,
yeah.
Hope that was helpful.
Thank you, Curtis. Thank you.
Peg has been waving her hand, Colleen.
Who?
Peg.
I can't see anybody. Peg is something. Peg?
I was going to ask something that actually Curtis just brought up. So one thing I do want to say to everybody, though, is the Planning Commission got the full packets from both DW and the ComNet packets, the application. Those are also on the website. You go to the meeting materials. You find, meeting materials, and they're laid out there. So anyone in the public can see the full packet that's been presented so far by both of these applicants.
I'm just going to say now, just for, you know, something to think about for the PC, but in my mind, it makes most sense to get everything we want on one tower, not two. So, you know, it's like, ideally, in my mind, something up on Thompson Ledge actually makes more sense to me, because it can handle enough things to get FirstNet up there for the ERs and, you know, and so on. So, yeah. What I'd say.
Okay.
And I presume, Matt, that, you know, I'm just, this is a shot in the dark, but I presume because everything is equally available up there and it's even taller, that if ComNet and FirstNet, if it wasn't suitable for them, I mean, they could always put a monopole and kind of tuck it around the tower so that it kind of disappeared. And they, if they have to have their own monopole, it could be shielded behind the tower. I mean, I think
right.
There's different ways to do this. And what you're saying is get the minimum visual and aesthetic impact.
In one spot.
In one spot.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Hi, this is Holly Patrick from ComNet Wireless. I'm actually FirstNet project manager for ComNet. I just wanted to make a couple of things clear about the existing structure and the existing shelter that we are currently, as ComNet, we are currently on that structure. We have a lease with South Central Communications, and I would imagine T-Mobile does as well. We do not control that tower or the ownership. We have a lease with them to be on that property. So I want to make sure everybody understands that ComNet's not controlling that location and its existence there. We do have a presence there, and the concern for ComNet moving, and now I'm not talking about FirstNet, I'm just talking about ComNet, which is existing at this tower, we would be changing our coverage for your town if we were to move to the Thompson Ledge. Plus, we have a lease with South Central Communications, so we have an agreement with them. So a discussion of removing a tower would have to go to South Central Communications. And obviously, we do not control that. So I wanted to make that clear. First of all, I respect what you're saying about your town and your town center. I do understand that. But understand also that we do not control that. So that's ComNet's presence, and we provide Verizon coverage and AT&T coverage to the town today. Now FirstNet is a totally different situation. So we contracted with AT&T to bring FirstNet to your community. That's not existing today. Our agreement with AT&T and their approval was at this location in the town, because it does provide the best coverage for the town. That's not to say that the Dale Wilson Tower does not provide good coverage. I'm absolutely not saying that at all. So FirstNet is a little bit different. So the reason that AT&T initially picked this location was because we were there and we have a presence there and we have transport at that location today. And I do understand that Dale Wilson is bringing fiber to the other location. I would say that everybody just needs to be aware that you're probably stuck with two towers. If Dale Wilson built his, the one in town is probably not going away. That doesn't mean that we can't make it nicer in town for you, potentially. So I think that's probably ongoing discussion. The other thing I wanted to point out is that our FirstNet deadline for this location was March of 2021. So obviously I don't feel comfortable that we're going to meet that obligation, which, you know, it's too bad. But I wanted to answer your question that March of 2021 was our deadline.
I didn't, I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry, I didn't catch. Pardon me?
Polly Patrick.
Okay, can you ask Cynthia to hook us up by email, Polly?
Absolutely.
Thank you. This is Curtis Overhansley. Yeah, I need to hook up with you and Jeremy, so I broaden the conversation here.
Thank you for that information.
You're welcome. And I want you to know also we're not trying to compete with Dale Wilson. We're just trying to, you know, I think between the two of us, Dale, you know, DW Towers, I think we're just trying to do the best for the community and in FirstNet.
So I have a question about the DW Tower. So the microwave at the bottom of that tower needs the trajectory to Mount Pinal. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is if that you had mentioned you would be open to, you know, doing a co-location in town, but what I'm wondering is then that microwave is going to have to go across the valley and up to Mount Pinal where as if you were on top, Thompson Ledge is desired, that would be a straight shot.
There's a clear shot from that building also to Mount Pinal.
Okay. The reason I ask is I think there is going to be some concern in the community about the trajectory of that microwave. And I would guess that the effect on the community would be less if that tower was higher.
I don't think there would probably be any big impacts at that location. And are you talking about health impacts or what are you talking?
Yeah, I know just from past discussions that's been brought up before. So I just wanted to, you know, clarify if that's a realistic concern and if there would be a difference between the two locations.
As far as technically either location would work, and that's like I said, DW Tower's first approach was we needed the connection to fiber, and the South Central building was that, and then but it will add to what's going on there for sure. And then Thompson Ledge location is superior in that it's a higher elevation, works better from a lot of different aspects.
Okay, thank you. And I guess then I'm gonna agree with Polly's statement is that it seems like two towers is needed, given the information that was brought forward tonight. So that's just something to think about.
I have another question. Polly, why is the March deadline? Why was that March a deadline? Would today would have to be what in order for that to be met?
Let me make sure I understand your question. So why, or what would have to happen tomorrow, let's say, for us to be able to meet the March deadline? Is that your question? Did I get that correct?
Yes, because you said that you had a deadline of March and it looked like that we weren't going to make the March deadline. So I guess my real question is, what would have to happen to meet the March deadline?
Well, that's a good question, and I'll give you a little industry background on building towers. So the likelihood of us meeting March 31st would be tough, but it would be doable. If our zoning application, let's say, was approved by November 30th, that gives us 4 months. Typical material ordering for a new tower is typically 8 weeks. And then once you were to receive your tower steel, you would have to start under construction. And for a new tower relocation or replacement, you are looking at 6 weeks to 8 weeks to complete the project. So you're looking at 4 months if we were to start November 30th with a zoning application approved in hand. So it would be a tough deadline to meet. I mean,
is
obviously,
is there any way to extend that deadline?
We have already informed AT&T that we feel that it is unlikely that we are going to meet that deadline. So AT&T has made commitments to the FirstNet organization, which is the government entity that is, you know, sponsoring the project. So they made commitments, I believe, starting 3 years ago to get national FirstNet coverage. So what AT&T has done is they started on, you know, the low-hanging fruit, which obviously is our urban community, right? It's easiest to go in and add FirstNet to. Unfortunately, rural America got pushed out toward the end of their deadline. They had a five-year build deadline, and they needed to hit certain percentages as they went along to meet their commitment to the FirstNet government board. So we made commitments, obviously, to AT&T that we would have a certain portion of our network that would be in place over an 18-month period. So I have informed them we are trying to bring in another site to replace this one in another location so that we still meet our commitments and AT&T meets their commitments to the FirstNet board. So that's what I'm working on, is saying, okay, we might not get Boulder by March, but I'm going to try and get Boulder by June, right? And I'm going to bring another site in to meet our commitment. So that's my juggling act right now. But ultimately, our goal is to completely build out our network by the end of 2021, period. So that gives you a little bit better idea of what I'm working with. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. So say you got it out to June, it would still be the same tower, right, through South Central?
Well, I mean, if we were to get zoning approved, yes, we would replace the existing kind of lattice tower that is there today, and ComNet would stay there, and obviously T-Mobile would stay there because we have current leases with South Central, and we would raise it high enough to accommodate FirstNet. And if necessary, obviously, DW's microwave shot.
Okay. Anybody got any questions?
Great information. Does anyone else have questions? Okay, well, it's a lot to think about. And Curtis, I'm sure you'll be doing a lot of work on this in the next month. I'd be interested in any information that comes up, you know, to keep us posted as far as how this is working out. We were talking about having a public hearing in December on this. Does everyone feel like they're ready for a public hearing in December? Curtis, do you have any comments?
I can, if you guys want it, I can get it ready. There's some things I have to do with the application, but why don't you put that in abeyance and then you can poll the members later. Let me write you a summary of what I've heard here. Let me hear from Jeremy and contact Polly and learn more about what they're saying.
Okay.
And get back to you. And then you know, we'll have plenty of time if you want to do the public hearing to, at your next meeting. We can certainly do that. I can certainly be ready for it if they can. But I want to collate all of this, and I'll write you an email tomorrow and kind of summarize my thoughts on it.
Okay. Okay. Does anyone else have any comments on this? It's a lot of information to be chewing on.
Colleen?
Yes.
I just have one comment, and that's it does seem kind of critical to what Judy's saying to make sure that, in fact, our first responders can get or will have the equipment necessary to make use of FirstNet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, well, I get that. I still feel like I just have this funny feeling we're going to end up with two different locations. It just seems like there is just so much out there in the ethers as far as our internets and all of that it would, I would love to see it all on one, and yet to be able to upgrade both of these situations just seems like such a benefit. That's my own comment. I know that tower is right in town next to the school, but South Central is always going to be there too, and it's their property. So anyway, that's my only comment. And I appreciate all the work that everybody's done. It was nice having the discussion with all of the representatives. I wish I could remember your names, but I'm not good at that. So I do appreciate all the information that was brought forward tonight.
Ollie, can you spell your last name for me? Ollie?
Double mute again. Sorry about that. I just put the comment in the chat. I just saw the comment asking who PW was. I am recently married, and that's my former last name is Polly Weiss. So old habits die hard there. Polly Patrick.
Polly Patrick. Okay, thank you.
Colleen, when you asked for comments, does that include comments from the public about this?
Not right now, but we do have final public comments just in a few minutes. So Tessa, will you just hang on to that for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we're finished with this, we'll go on to the town property mapping for, is Michela on tonight?
No, she's not.
Okay. So, we'll go past that. Peg, I think the staff reports that still, it's like Curtis, I guess.
Yes.
Curtis.
Yes.
So we're on staff report. So I guess we'll just say that everything that we've been talking about was your staff report.
I hope so.
Okay, good. Okay, so then let's go ahead real quick and go through our upcoming business then. We know that we'll be talking to Lee, right?
Yep.
And then we'll have a potential public hearing possibly with the cell towers.
That would be two separate public hearings. If we have two separate applications, we have two public hearings.
Right. And then we'll put Michela back on.
Yep.
Okay. So that would be the upcoming business that we would have for December.
Yep.
Does anybody else have any comments? I think, okay. And then we'll go to final public comments. So Tessa, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I understand from listening to that conversation that there would be issues in having to involve South Central with moving the location. But I don't know if I understood, and maybe I didn't understand correctly, that there would be additional benefits to updating both towers as opposed to putting the extra work in to move the ComNet and FirstNet contract both to Thompson Ledge cell towers. And I guess I say that both for reasons that Planning Commission members brought up. Firstly, for the aesthetic reasons of having that in the center of town, but also along with what Josie said in terms of community members potentially having concerns about the health risks. And I wonder if part of this application, if there is any information or studies that are conducted about increased radiation, particularly because that tower is obviously immediately next to the school and the church. So I would see that as a concern and something that it seems like there should be more information about. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Tessa. Do we have any other comments?
I am not seeing. Ashley said on the chat that he agreed with Judy's comment about needing to put first priority with getting our first responders.
Yeah.
I don't see any other hands up or chats that we haven't covered.
Okay, so do I have a motion to close the meeting?
I'll make the motion.
I'll make a motion to close the meeting.
Oops.
Sorry, I beat you to it, Cookie.
Okay, I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye, Matt Cochran.
Aye, Cookie Shouse.
Aye, Colleen Thompson.
Aye, Josie Muse.
Aye, Marian Johnson.
Thank you for all your comments. It was a good meeting.
Thanks to all the out of town people who stuck in here. I think some of you guys are in Central Time Zone, right? So thanks for joining in. Okay.
Night.
Good night.
Thank you. Night.
Bye.